I've never bass fished in my life. It was all saltwater always. And my sister and I kind of both just mutually agreed that this is something we want to try. My dad kind of thought we were crazy, but he was willing to take on the adventure with us.
Welcome to the Woman Angler and Adventurer Podcast, inspiring real women with a passion for fishing and the outdoors to go get their adventure on. Now, here's your host, Master Captain Angie Scott.
Hey everyone, it's your friend Angie. I just always wanted to say that. I've been listening to Mel Robbins' podcast like crazy, but hopefully you guys listen to Mel. She definitely can improve your life if you have time to listen to another podcast. But anyway, on this week's episode of The Woman Angler and Adventurer, I chat with Elizabeth Eastman, winner of the Helen Seaver Pioneer Scholarship. We talk about her journey from growing up as a saltwater angler to competitive bass fishing in high school to earning that scholarship to Auburn University. She managed this while running a baking business, so we talk a little bit about that too. And she shares the challenges of transitioning to college competitive fishing from high school, talks about her passion for biology and fisheries management, and her future goals. It's an inspiring conversation with a rising female angler making her mark in the fishing world. But before we get into that, I wanted to update you with some news on how the first tournament of the year went for the ladies of the LBAA on Toledo Bend. There were definitely some nice bags of fish brought to the scales. The weather got pretty treacherous on day two. And one of the anglers, Nikki Jo Hatton, you may have seen on social media, she actually nearly drowned if it wasn't for the quick work of her co-angler, Susie Hearn. I'm going to see if I can get those ladies on the show so they can tell you all about that experience on a future episode. But big congratulations to Texan Cheryl Bowden for bringing home first place on the boater side. She was followed by Linda Gessner from Arkansas, and in third place was Dana Lee Lofton. On the co-angler side, I'm super proud for my friend Pam Hallwerda for bringing home first place. I've had the pleasure of fishing with Pam several times now, and she's always a joy to have on the boat. Second place was the big hero, Susie Hearn. Congratulations, Susie. And Secret York brought in third place. Despite the weather and that near-death situation, it looked like it was a good tournament, and thankfully, no one was hurt, struck by lightning, or eaten by a gator. Next up is Bull Shoals in Arkansas coming in just a few weeks, and it looks like they have a great lineup of anglers for that event, so stay tuned. All right, let's dive into my conversation with Fairhope, Alabama native Elizabeth Eastman. Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Woman Angler and Adventurer podcast. Always fun when I have other ladies on the show that are into competitive fishing, especially for me in the bass space. So I'm excited to welcome my guest this week, Elizabeth Eastman, to the show. Elizabeth, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're in Alabama.
Yes.
And when this episode's coming out, it's going to be in March, but we're actually recording it in January. Is it kind of cold there right now?
Yes, I've been all over the creation. I just got back to Auburn. I go to Auburn University for after Christmas break, and I've been hunting and fishing all over the break, and it's been very cold.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, everybody's having a cold snap. Even I'm actually down in Florida at the moment, and it's even chilly down here in Southwest Florida. For Southwest Florida, I'm sure nothing like it is there. But anyway, let's jump into your background, and then I want to kind of talk about getting into the competitive fishing space, and now college. So. From what I understand, you grew up, on the coast in Alabama, so not necessarily always bass fishing. So talk about just kind of getting into it at a young age and what that was like.
I've been fishing for as long as I can remember. I grew up in Fairhope, Alabama, on the water. My dad's always been a big fisherman, so he started us, me and my sister, very young. And I've always loved fishing. I've always loved doing things with my dad and outdoors. And when I got into middle school, my older sister was in high school, and she found out that our high school had a fishing team. So she joined the fishing team, and the middle school was allowed to join too. So I kind of just tagged along with her. And we found out about the bass team, which was something we had never touched with a 10-foot pole. I've never bass fished in my life. It was all saltwater always. And my sister and I kind of both just mutually agreed that this is something we want to try. My dad kind of thought we were crazy, but he was willing to take on the adventure with us. And we were really fortunate. We had a lot of fun. We got to travel all around the state of Alabama and fish together for a year, but then she graduated. So that's when my journey really took off, because I had to do it all without her.
Gotcha. So this was still in Fairhope, right? Where you, and so is there a lot of freshwater fishing in that area as well?
No. That's another challenge that I had during high school, is not a lot of people were interested in bass. So while our high school's team was like 80 to 100 people, the bass section of the team was at the most, I think, 8 people.
Okay. So it's interesting that, you know, being located where you were, that there was even 8 people interested in being part of a bass fishing team. So the other people, they were doing saltwater, like, yes, competition, yes, and stuff.
We had a lot of online saltwater competitions with like other surrounding schools and stuff.
Okay. Gotcha. So what do you think it was that made you choose to go bass?
I don't know. It was something about the people that were doing the bass stuff. They just seemed so much more into it than all the saltwater guys, because there were saltwater tournaments, but they were never like super serious or super big. And I just saw it as something really fun to go do. I'd never gotten to travel around Alabama that much. And it just seemed really fun and interesting. And I just wanted to give it a shot. And I'll never forget my very first tournament. We pulled up to the boat ramp and there was just a sea of red and green lights out in the water. And I was like, this is it. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's cool. I can kind of see what you're talking about, the difference between the saltwater and the kind of more excitement of the competition with the bass fishing being it's not online. You're going in person and fishing these big tournaments with all these other anglers. And there's just something about that you can't replace with any other feeling. So that's really cool. So talk a little bit then. So you had your first year, your sister's fishing as well. I've had some other like high school, maybe even junior anglers on the show. And it's always so impressive to me because, how many tournaments would you say you would fish throughout the school year?
4 to 5.
Okay. So not a ton, but enough, you know, where it's still a lot of work and you're still trying to balance school and everything else, but you're having to, you know, get up really early in the morning, travel a lot of times, you know, cause obviously, especially for you, cause you're in Fairhope. So there's a lot to it that people, I think, don't understand, and you have to have a boat captain. Was your dad your captain, or did you have?
Yes. Some?
Okay.
I was really fortunate that my dad was able to, we had a bay boat in the beginning and we fished with that bay boat up until my junior year of high school. And that's finally when we realized that like I was really serious about this, and we were able to get a bass boat for fairly cheap because no one wants a bass boat in the salt. And I was really, that's really one of the biggest blessings to me, is that we were able to make that transfer, because that's really when a lot of things changed for me. People were taking me a little bit more serious, and I was able to have the technology that allowed me to succeed more.
Yeah. Well, I can totally relate to that as well, because I started out fishing with the Women's Pro Bass Tour with a bay boat,
And, you know, it's just what I had available. And I love the boat, and they're super fun to drive and easy to maneuver. And, you know, you could still get pretty shallow with it. But after fishing a couple seasons, I realized, you know, hey, this just isn't the best tool to get the job done. And so this last year was actually my first year fishing from an actual bass boat. And I, you know, even realized even more that, yeah, it makes a big difference to have a boat that's designed to do what you're trying to do. And so I can totally relate to that transition. It's just been kind of fun to have all the storage, you know, that I need for all of my tackle and rods and reels and the right kind of live well system and all of that. So it's made a big difference. So congrats on being able to make that transition. So talk a little bit about you mentioned, you know, after your sister moved on, that was kind of when everything really took off for you. Talk about that first year without her.
So the first year without my sister, I had a super nice partner and we had a lot of fun together, but we were still learning. I was a freshman in high school. I didn't really know what I was doing at all. And I had a lot of rotation of partners. I never had a consistent partner. Every single year I was getting someone new. And I feel like while that was hard at the time, it was really good for me because it taught me to like rely on myself. And it really grew my fishing skills because now that I'm in college, if I had not been able to really grow my fishing abilities in high school, I would not be able to do this right now. Now I'm working on learning everything that comes with the boat. Because yes, I drove the boat in high school, but trailering the boat was never my job. And so that's something I'm working on learning. But if I did not have the foundational fishing skills that I grew in high school, then I certainly would not be able to do what I'm doing now.
Gotcha. Do you find, even though you all were still learning and, you know, young and in high school, that you were still able to learn different things from some of your different partners that you got paired up with?
Yes, definitely. Both my partner and I, we were always bouncing off ideas from each other, and where I was strong, normally my partner wasn't, and where he was strong, I wasn't. And so we always balanced each other out very well.
So in this smaller group with your school, were there any other female anglers, or was it just pretty much you and your sister in the beginning?
So after my sister graduated, I was the only girl, and I had friends in high school that liked to fish that were girls, and I would try to get them to come do the bass stuff, but traveling and missing school and everything else that we do in high school can be a lot, so it never really panned out.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can see that being a challenge. I imagine though that there were probably some other girls with other schools that fished as well.
There was always a few, and I feel like around my sophomore year of high school, I would see the most girls around. And then later in high school, I feel like it died off, which always confused me, and I never could quite put my finger on why.
Interesting. What? So I know that wasn't that long ago, but about what year was that?
2021 was like the peak, I feel like, when I saw the most girls at the high school tournaments.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah. I wonder if that, I don't know, we had that whole pandemic and then, you know, people were getting more into the outdoors. And so maybe that kind of sparked a little more interest and maybe it fell off a little bit after that, but that's interesting. So I want to talk about the transition from going from high school angling into college, because I think you've earned a scholarship, right? To go to Auburn through fishing. Is that correct?
I won the Helen Seaver Pioneer Scholarship that was presented by Bass and Shimano. Me and another girl named Dixie won it my senior year of high school and her freshman year of college. I'm really grateful for that opportunity. It's really put my name out there and helped me get into college fishing. But transitioning has been harder than I expected.
Want to learn about fishing, hunting, and outdoor gear from fellow experienced outdoor women, as well as get inspired to try something new in the outdoors? then subscribe to Adventurous, the only women's hunting and fishing magazine. Adventurous is a high-quality print magazine that receives rave reviews, and it also makes a great gift for other outdoor women and youth. Subscribe at Adventurous Magazine and use code WOMANANGLER for 15% off.
Congratulations on the scholarship, by the way. That's really incredible. And I'm super happy that Bass offers that opportunity. Every year that it comes up, I share it out to, you know, my social channels and also through the LBAA in case they know of any other ladies that might be eligible for it. So very cool. But yeah, talk a little bit about the challenges from transitioning from high school to college competitive fishing.
There's been a lot of challenges for me, but like I said, I was always the boat driver and my dad was the truck driver. So learning the whole truck and trailer aspect has been hard for me, but I'm getting there. I can do it. I'm just not the best at it in the world. It takes me a little bit of time, but something I'm working on. And I feel like I was really focused on learning as many techniques of fishing in high school that's all I was focused on. And so every other aspect my dad was handling, and I'm so grateful that he did that. But looking back, I wish I would have pushed myself a little bit harder to learn more about map studies and all the other things that go into it, because I'm having to learn all those things now because obviously I'm doing it by myself. And I'm grateful to be at Auburn. All the guys on the team are very, very supportive. They're so nice. Auburn has been very welcoming to me, and I feel like that's another thing that's helped me. But I won't lie, I did think about quitting at one point, but I'm not there anymore. I just had like a little dip in the moment, and I've had amazing people in my life, like my dad and all my other mentors that have helped me get to where I am and learn more so I can be successful.
That's awesome. It's so important to have a support team and people that you can reach out to and count on, you know, if you're struggling with something or need help in a certain area. So just so in case listeners don't really know how everything works. So in high school fishing, you have a boat captain who's driving the boat, right? Or
yes.
Yeah, you can't drive the boat in the high school realm yet, but you can work the trolling motor and that sort of thing. So I can see how, you know, the map study and stuff like that isn't as important at that point because you're not the one physically driving the boat, making sure that, you know, you're not running it up on some rocks or, you know, things like that. But you do have some say-so as to where you're actually going to be going and fishing and targeting the fish.
Yeah. And my dad did push me like towards my later years of high school. He'd be like, I'm not making the decision of where we're going next. You are. And I'm grateful for that. But overall, it really, ultimately, he would always have like judgment of like, if I was between two spots, he would be like the final say, because I loved both of them and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he would have like the overarching aspect that just gave me another little extra voice that helped me out.
Mm-hmm. Kind of give you a little boost of confidence too, which we can talk about confidence a little bit. I'm sure you know how important of a role that plays in fishing competitively. Talk a little bit about your experience with that.
That's something I have struggled with a little bit. Especially now, I'm surrounded by one of the best teams in the country. Auburn is consistently up there. We just won MLF Team of the Year. And so it's been hard for me to have confidence at some points, but I just have to tell myself, like, I'm here for a reason. I've worked hard for this. And I do have a place in this world. And I have the ability to do this.
Absolutely. So are you currently the only female on the Auburn team?
I'm not. There's two other girls in the Auburn team. It's been really great.
That's awesome. That's, I'm sure, super helpful. Most any of us coming from, you know, making that transition earning a scholarship would probably at some point, you know, there's this thing called the imposter syndrome where we all wonder, are we good enough? Do we really belong here? And I think having people like you in this type of position, that's the inspiration that other girls coming up need to see that, hey, she's doing this. Kudos to you for sticking it out through, you know, a tough time and sticking with it, because that's not always an easy thing to do. And so we're excited to see where it goes for you. I do want to go back just a little bit, though. We kind of skipped ahead. I wanted to talk about, you know, in high school, you also had something else going on. You had a little bit of an entrepreneurial thing going on there. Talk a little bit about that.
So in 2020, during quarantine, I decided I wanted to start a little baking business. And that's really grown a lot for me. I'm still doing it now at Auburn. So I make decorated cookies and cakes, and that was another thing that I had to balance along with my schedule. And I feel like that's even helped me within fishing, because it really taught me how to keep a schedule and how to stay organized so I can do everything that I want to do.
Wow. It's really impressive, because I'm sure that that's not easy. It's a lot to go along with running a business, even if it's, you know, it's a small business, it's still something that you have to put a lot of time into, on top of your studies and everything else. So, super impressive. I did want to touch on, you know, I started fishing with the LBAA, the Lady Bass Anglers Association, back the end of 2020. I kind of dipped my toe in the water going as a co-angler just to see what it was all about, and then jumped in head first with my bay boat in 2021. And that year we got to fish Logan Martin, which was the first time I ever got to fish an Alabama lake. And I really fell in love with it. So talk a little bit about the fisheries that you have access to in Alabama, and maybe if you have one or two favorites that you really like.
Alabama is such an amazing state to be in this industry. We're one of the most biodiverse places in the world. And I feel like being from the Salt almost helped me be able to access more fisheries, because I never had a home lake and home technique that I was stuck on. So I had to travel and I had to go to places to learn different things. But my two favorite places in Alabama are probably Eufaula and Lake Martin.
Very cool. Those are two I have not yet been to, so I would love to. Part of me is kind of tempted to do the Alabama Bass Trail at some point, just so I can get to experience all of those lakes.
That's something my dad and I have talked about doing together, is the ABT Trail. It's the best of the best. I mean, even the pros, some of the pros that fish the big lakes fish the ABT Trail, so you really are fishing against the greatest people.
Wow. I've had Kay Donaldson on the show before, and I just think the way that that's all come together and the professionalism and everything is just super impressive. So maybe one day I'll be a part of that. We'll see. It's not too far for me because I'm in Tennessee. So, you know, kind of convenient, but also I just kind of drool over thinking about some of those fisheries there that y'all have access to. So, very cool. So what do you think? Do you have any plans mapped out for the future? Or what do you kind of see this leading to as you, you know, continue through college and beyond?
So I'm really interested to see where college fishing takes me, but my life goals have correlations to fishing. And right now I'm majoring in natural resource management, and I want my focus to be on fisheries. I've grown up doing this, obviously, and it's something really important to me, and I want to protect those fisheries for future generations. So fishing has in a way shaped literally my whole life. And as tournament fishing, I don't really know how far I want to take it. I definitely want to fish tournaments for the rest of college, and who knows, maybe fish the ABT Trail with my dad like we've always talked about, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll see where it goes. I think, let's see, you're on Instagram, right? So we'll put a link to your Instagram on the show notes for this. So if people want to kind of follow along, they can go check it out. Let's see, anything else? I do want to give a quick shout out to Shane Ellis, who kind of connected us, a mentor to both of us, really. Shane's a great guide, works a lot on Gunnersville, some on Logan Martin, but super knowledgeable, all the way down to the biology of these fish, up to the best techniques and gear. And so he's been a great resource for me. And really appreciate Shane connecting us for this, because I've enjoyed the conversation. Anything else you want to mention or share?
I also want to thank Shane. Shane's been one of my biggest mentors recently. And like you said, he's so knowledgeable. And he's really taught me a lot and given me confidence to keep going in this industry.
Awesome. And that's so important. So, well, thank you so much for taking some time out to be on the Woman Angler and Adventure podcast. Hope we can stay in touch, and maybe we'll run into each other down in Alabama at one of these tournaments someday.
Thanks so much for having me.